So we're learning the halachas of Bishul B'Shabbes, and yesterday we spoke about Kli Sheni, and we noted that there are three basic chumras that are found in Judaism regarding Kli Sheni. There's the opinion in Tosfos that Kli Sheni has a din of mechzik mevashel. There is the position of the Chaya Adam and the Ktzais HaShulchan, that there is something like Yad Nichves by a Kli Sheni, if it's super duper hot. Mishneh Brura is Choshesh for numbers 1 and 2, even though number 1 is a two opinions in Taisus. Mishneh Brura, Sifkatan Lamedale quotes number 1. And the Mishneh Brura, I believe, in Sifkatan Memches quotes the idea of Yad Nichves. The Chazan Ish is very into Yad Nichves, but the Chazan Ish is into it only in a Kli Sheni, not in a Kli Shlishi. The third issue that we have is called Kalei HaBishul, those items that are more susceptible to being cooked, those items that cook more easily. So then there is a din of Kalei HaBishul. The Mishnah speaks about Dag Maluach and Koyas Ispinin. Beitza is found in the Gemara that we compare it. The Rishonim have also passed. The Chazan Ish takes the limited approach to Kalei HaBishul. He says it's only those four things. The Mishneh Brura throughout seems to take a approach that is, the Mishneh Brura takes the approach that we broaden Kalei HaBishul, which is also found in the Sefer Yerayim on page Kuflam Medalad Amid Beis, that Kalei HaBishul is a broader category. That's the Shita of the Mishneh Brura. What we pointed out is that the Mishneh Brura, who says Kalei HaBishul is a broader category, is not that different than the Chazan Ish, who says Kalei HaBishul is a narrow category, because the Chazan Ish says, well, you have to be nervous about Yad Nichves, because Mi Yavo LaHakel B'Isser Shabbos HaChomer, right? Meaning, again, I don't know what the Mishneh Brura teaches as Yad Nichves, but the Chazan Ish is choshesh that Yad Nichves is a very broad category. And so it's possible that the machlokes between them is not that large. You had a comp for Eitan Gedalia Shlita?
Yeah.
You got a Shlita today. I want you to continue to live. Amir Tzai Hashem. Okay.
I'm wondering, the Chai Adam, we said he based his nichves on official
Bishul by Meiser, yeah.
Maybe that's the reason for Shlomo Zalman.
Right. In other words, what we spoke about, you're saying the Reb Shlomo Zalman in terms of the shear of Yad Zoledas? I don't know. I don't think so. Notice Reb Shlomo Zalman in terms of Tavlin, that he says that the Tavlin that we have today is not the Tavlin that they used to have, because our Tavlin are very thin. And we point out that Archos Shabbos notes that it's not true, because the Mishnayos and Beitza speak about how they used to grind the Tavlin. I'm not sure if that's connected to this issue. Oh, you're thinking about the other Reb Shlomo Zalman,
yeah,
about Chiyuv Maisris. Maybe, maybe, although there's a difference between Kviyos L'inyan Maisris and Chiyuv Maiser. Yeah, and that's what basically I did, is I just pointed out a Reb Shlomo Zalman, which I forgot to mention yesterday, I think, that Reb Shlomo Zalman assumes that when we're mako on tavlin the Kli Sheni, it does not apply to our spices, because our spices are very thin, and therefore it for sure is something that we have to be concerned about as being Kalei HaBishul. The Sefer Archos Shabbos points out that you can't say that our spices are very thin compared to their spices, because the Mishnah in Beit HaYadalet and elsewhere speaks about how they would be Dachu es HaTavlin es HaPilpulin, stuff like that, how they would grind it. It looks like Mr. Spitzer raised a hand, at least a virtual hand.
Yeah.
So what's the svara of the Mishnah Brura that he's chayshish for allow everything to be kali habishal? Let's certain foods that we know are around in the times of Chazal. Shouldn't we say if they weren't included in kali habishal, then we know conclusively that they're not kali habishal?
Again, you have to remember that you're saying that those foods that were around in the time of Chazal, and even so the Gemara doesn't answer it, isn't that evidence that it's not kali habishal? That's sort of your right point. So what I would say is, you know, first of all, the Yerayim is machmir. It could be that the Mishnah Berurah is saying we don't know exactly the properties. Maybe it's something along the lines of this Reb Shlomo Zalman that we mentioned, that things are cut more thinly than they used to be. I don't know. It's a good ha'ara. Your ha'ara about what happened with Zman Chazal is an interesting ha'ara that I think is worth thinking about. But what can I do? I have a Yerayim and a Mishnah Berurah, etc. Again, the Chazon Ish probably agrees with you. Remember, the Chazon Ish methodologically is into those types of rayas, right? That whatever is in Shas is true lahalacha. Whatever is not in Shas, mehechatesi. So, yeah, I think the methodological point is worth noting. Okay. So yesterday we spoke about Kale Habishal. What I want to talk about today are called Chomrei Habishal. Chomrei Habishal are those things that we know they do not cook in a Kli Sheni. Right? What we pointed out yesterday is that this seems to be like a fundamental machlokes. Mishnah Berurah Chazanish. Do I assume that everything is us until proven mutar? Everything is mutar until proven usur. The Gemara has two categories, Kale Habishal, Chomrei Habishal. What about stuff that's in between? So there are three examples of Chomrei Habishal. We have Shemen, we have Mayim, and we have Tavlin. These are the three examples of Chomrei Habishal. Shemen, the Gemara on Mem, has a discussion about whether there is Bishal on Shemen or not. Whether, if there is Bishal, do I assume Hefsheroi Zehu Bishuloi? Do I assume that the Bishal is just warming it up, which probably means something like taking the chill out of it? Or do I assume that Shemen, Yad Seiledes Boy, is the Bishal? Just like by Mayim, Yad Seiledes is the Bishal. The Gemara concludes Echad Mayim, Echad Shemen, Yad Seiledes Boy is Usar. Ein Yatzolah Nispol is Mutter. And the Gemara brings a proof that there is a famous episode, a famous incident, that Reb Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is in the Merchatz, right? And he wants to heat up some shemen. Apparently, by the way, heating shemen was something that was done in part of the bathing process, right? We spoke about this in the first shiur. Part of bathing is that they put like some warm oils on themselves. Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is in the Merchatz and he wants to heat up Shemen. So he's told by Rebbe, Tal Bikli Sheni Batein, that what you should do is take the water out of the Merchatz in a separate keli, Tal Bikli Sheni Batein, and then put the jug of oil into that Kli Sheni. That's what the Gemara says. Does that mean in the Gemara that there is no din of Bishul of Shemen in a Kli Sheni? That's what the Gemara says. That's the evidence that Shemen is called Chomrei HaBishul. However, it's not abundantly clear because the Maharsha on Lamed Tes, the Maharsha is bothered by Akasha that we spoke about yesterday. If you remember, there's an opinion in Tosfos that there is mechzik mevash on the Kli Sheni. Frek the Maharsha, if that's the case, how can you tell me tol b'Kli Sheni b'tein? How can you tell me that you take the shemen and you put in the Kli Sheni, right? Shouldn't I be nervous of mechzik mevash? So the Maharsha answers that the shemen is hefsek kli, meaning to say that you're not putting the shemen directly into the merchatz. You're not putting the shemen directly, I should say, into the kli sheni even. What you're doing is you're putting the shemen in the keli into the kli sheni. Because it's hefsek kli, zok the maharsha, that's why there is no mechzikim of ashel. Now this maharsha is, of course, against the prima gadim. Because yesterday we spoke about the prima gadim says that by mashkim, there's never a din of mechzikim of ashel, because since it diffuses and it spreads out, so therefore, right, there can't be mechzikim of ashel. Mechzikim of ashel means I take this item and I see it was cooked, right? That's the prima gadim. The Marsha is saying nitazai. But Zakt Rabbi Willig in his Sefer, one thing I see from the Maharsha also is that the case of Shemen is unlike other cases in Judaism. Because if the case of Shemen is I put it in a keli, in a kli sheni, so ken zayin, that there is no bishul because it goes in a keli, in a kli sheni. But perhaps if it goes directly in a kli sheni, it would be bishul. The poskim say that Shemen is chomrei habishul, but Rabbi Willig is just raising an objection to it. Mayim. The poskim assume that mayim is chomrei habishul. However, the Mishnah on Mem Aleph speaks about ilfis v'kedera shavirim mirutachin, lo yitin l'toichai mayim, Reb Yehuda omer nosin l'toichai kedei l'hafshir. I could put mayim in there kedei l'hafshir. Right? Excuse me. Osak der shavirim mirutachin, lo yitin l'toichai mayim, ala nosin l'toichai kais, ala toichai kaira. I can put the mayim into a kais, which is a kli sheni, or a kaira, which is a kli sheni. So mayim can go into a kli sheni. Reb Yehuda omer nosin l'tocho kedei l'hafshir. Reb Yehuda says that I could put the mayim into the kli sheni l'hafshir, which means to warm it up, not to cook it. That means, zok the eglaital, that according to the Tanya Reb Yehuda, there is going to be a problem of mayim in the kli sheni. So in terms of the chomrei habishul, I have shemen, teeny bit debatable. I have mayim, a teeny bit debatable, at least the Tanya Reb Yehuda is chayshish. I also have chomrei habishul by those items, of course, that only cook in the kli rishon al gabei ha'esh, which is the bisra detura and the melach me'ikar hadin. Those things are chomrei habishul. We also have tavlin, which is chomrei habishul. That it says in the Mishnah, you can put tavlin in the kli sheni. So now, what about sha'ar mashkim? What about other liquids? Orange juice, milk, right? Are those things allowed to go into a kli sheni? Do I assume that Sha'ar Mashkim have a din of Chomrei Habishul? The Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion writes that you should not put the Shaar HaTzion Shin Yod Ches Osamaches. Mishnah Berurah is consistent with this opinion that everything is considered Kalei Habishul besides those things that we know for sure are Chomrei Habishul. And he writes, Chutz Mimayim B'Shemen. Mishnah Berurah writes, Mayim and Shemen are called Chomrei Habishul, meaning Sha'ar Mashkim is not Chomrei Habishul. You get this impression from the Mishnah Berurah also in the famous, celebrated Se'if Katan Lamed Tes, where the Mishnah Berurah discusses how you make tea on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah has this razzle-dazzle chumradic way of making tea on Shabbos, not a chumradic way, but like a labor-intensive way. The Mishnah Berurah says what you have to do is you take the tea leaves and you pour the boiling water on the tea leaves Erev Shabbos. Then you mix the tea leaves up very well so that those leaves mamish get cooked. Then you dry off those tea leaves, and maybe you could pour the boiling water on it again, because it was already cooked. Ayidei the bishul time one. Ayidei pouring the water on it. And Mishnah Berurah says, this way is not the best way. The best way to make the tea is that you pour the water on the tea, Erev Shabbos, and you make a very thick and concentrated tea, which is called tea essence. And that tea essence, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the ideal way of keeping it is that you keep it hot the whole time. And then it is considered a davar lach, shaloi nitztan legamrei. And then you could put hot water into it and you make your tea out of that concentrated super hot water. Mishnah Berurah also notes in the Shaar HaTziyun in that conversation there, on Sif Katan Lamites, he says it's better to put the hot water in first. Excuse me, it's better to put the tea in first and the hot water in afterwards, because or else there's an issue of tzeveya ba'eichlan. If I put the hot water in first, then I add the tea afterwards, I'm coloring that water. But if I put the tea in first and I add the hot water after, I'm not coloring, I don't want to use the word discoloring, but I'm lightening the color. It was a thicker brownish color beforehand, and now it's a less intense brownish color. But because I'm Isa, the Mishnah Berurah, in his conversation about making the tea, he says the best way to make the tea is have your tea essence and keep your tea essence hot. If you have the tea essence and the tea essence cooled down, Zuck the Mishnah Berurah, you can be makel on putting that into a kli sheni, because it's a davar lach shenispashel v'nitztanein. And since it's a davar lach shenispashel v'nitztanein, we can put that into a kli sheni. Meaning, the Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Katan Lamites is only makel on putting the tea essence into a kli sheni, because it was already heated up one time. Davar lach shenitztanein. Davar lach shenispashel v'nitztanein. Had it not been cooked, the Mishnah Berurah would not be makel. You see from there that he's not going to say, oh, I'm allowed to put mayim into a kli sheni, so I should be allowed to put sha'ar mashkim into a kli sheni. Does that mean from the Mishnah Berurah that he's only make on putting the tea into the kli sheni because it was already cooked once and then it cooled down? But lav hachi, he would not be make on putting the tea into the kli sheni. You see that what the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shaar HaTziyun, Oysamaches is bedafka nakat, that only mayim and shemen is considered chaymrei habishul, but sha'ar mashkim is not chaymrei habishul, and tea has a din of sha'ar mashkim. Now, I should point out that my dear beloved friend, Megillah Sefer, right? The Megillah Sefer says, dude, what are you talking about? What exactly is tea, right? Tea is water that you add a little bit to the water, not a little color. Das heißt Wasser. Zuck the Megillah Sefer, ken minit zogin. Das ist Sharmashkin. Das ist nicht Sharmashkin. Das ist Wasser mit ein bisschen Tam Tay. So therefore, right, how can the Mishnah Berurah say it's considered like Sharmashkin? He blibes Shver. He has Megillah Sefer has a whole different cheshbin over here that maybe I'll talk about in a few minutes. But it's very hard to assume that it becomes sha'ar mashkim just because you add some coloring and flavoring to water. That's his kasha. But nonetheless, it seems clear in the Mishnah Berurah, at least in that Shaar HaTziyun Samaches, it's clear that only mayim and shemen is chaymrei habishul. Hagon Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out that he does not think this pshat is correct. Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Ches If Yud Gimel. Mutter liten keton shomayim o sha'ar mashkim b'kli sheni. It says in Shin Yud Ches Seif Yud Gimel that I'm allowed to put mayim or sha'ar mashkim in the kli sheni. That means sha'ar mashkim is not considered, sha'ar mashkim is not considered anything other than mayim. Sha'ar mashkim have the din of mayim. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Seif Yud Beis assumes that sha'ar mashkim is dinai kamayim. The argument that the Mishnah Berurah disagrees, hard argument, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, because Seif Yud Gimel Shulchan Aruch is against it. Comes along Rabbi Willig. And Rabbi Willig says, no, he has a defense of the Shulchan Aruch, how the Shulchan Aruch is not against the Mishnah Berurah, because the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches Seif Yud Gimel is the opinion of the Mechaber. The Mechaber holds that there is a narrow din of Kalei Habishol. If there's a narrow din of Kalei Habishol, so of course Sha'ar Mashkim is not Kalei Habishol. The only question regarding Sha'ar Mashkim is within those, like the Mishnah Berurah himself, who assume that there is a broader definition of Kalei Habishol. I know that this is true to some extent, perhaps, because of the discussion regarding salt. Right? If you remember, the Mechaber and the Ramah have a discussion about salt. The Mechaber says salt is fundamentally mutter, even in Kli Rishon. The Ramah sounds like you should not even put salt in the Kli Sheni. Says Rabbi Willig, again, I'm interpreting it, I'm reading into it. Says Rabbi Willig that the Cheshbon to be machmir on a broad definition of Kalei Habishol is because you assume that salt is also in the Kli Sheni. Memela, you're going to be machmir on other stuff. But the Mechaber, who says that salt is even a mutter in the Kli Rishon, Shalei Al Gabei Ha'esh, the Mechaber obviously has a narrow definition of Kalei Habishol. Again, I don't think this is compelling at all. I would maintain, like we spoke about in our youth, that the Machlokes regarding salt is simply what exactly is the Bishol by salt. We could say this in a few different ways. We could say that maybe the reason to be machmir on salt is because it goes from solid to liquid and it happens right away. Unlike the empanada that we have in Shulchan Aruch Seif Tes Zayin, that it takes time to go from solid to liquid. So therefore we treat it like a solid. Because the salt becomes liquid right away, so one could argue that it is, one could argue that it's more susceptible to Bishul. Maybe that's the pshat in the Ramah. Another possibility is that maybe the pshat in the Mechaber, why there is no Bishul by salt, is because a similar idea to what we spoke about from the Or Zeruah regarding the definition of Tavlin. Salt will give off its flavor even when it's cold water. I put salt into cold water, the water will become salty. So maybe it can't be subject to Bishul for that reason. So I would argue that there's no real proof from salt that the Mechaber and the Ramah have a fundamental disagreement about whether they have a broad Kalei Habishol or a more narrow Kalei Habishol. Because I think salt is different for one of two reasons. It becomes liquid right away, and also it gives off its flavor, even if it is cold. Adkan. But nonetheless, the question as to whether Sha'ar Mashkim is called Chaymei Habishol is an important question. What about putting milk into my coffee on Shabbos? If I make coffee in a kli sheni, can I put milk into the coffee? So our milk is mipustar. It says pasteurized on it. Pasteurization means, I mean, we know pasteurization is that you bring it to a really high boil for a second. So l'cha'ora is considered a davar lach and a special when it's tanning. So it should be mutter in the kli sheni based on the cheshbin of the Mishnah Brura. What about though if you buy, now it's like a whole thing, if you're like granola crunchy, so you're into milk that comes straight from the farm, no? Apparently it has like a much more milky taste. So will you be allowed to put that into the coffee? So that lecha'ora should depend on this machlokes between the Alter Rebbe and the suggested Mishnah Brura, that the Alter Rebbe assumes that Shar Mashkim is not, the Alter Rebbe assumes that Shar Mashkim is like Mayim and Shemen, and the Mishnah Brura sounds like it's only Mayim and Shemen. Nonetheless, in my friend the Megillah Sefer, he has the following cheshbon. His cheshbon is that putting milk into your coffee, if again, let's say my coffee is klisheni coffee, because I made coffee from instant coffee, which was previously cooked, right? So I'm not nervous about klisheni bichlal on the instant coffee, it was previously cooked. Can I add milk there? If the milk is not pasteurized, can I add it? So the Megillah Sefer Tainis, that maybe if my kavana in adding something is to cool it down, so by definition, that can't be bishul. Bishul means I add something with kavana to warm it up, not if I add something with kavana to cool it down. The reason people put coffee into milk is, l'cha'ira, they have kavana to cool it down. That's what he argues. I'm not sure exactly. I think you put coffee into milk because the coffee itself would have a really strong taste. Right? There are people who like black coffee. Those of us who don't like black coffee because we are normal, right? So the reason why we add milk to the coffee is to make it potable. It's ki'ilu bizman hashas that they would add water to the wine because the wine was too strong. That's what we spoke about in the halachas of harchakais, that maybe it's only usur to do mezigas hakais when the kais was something that would be diluted to a person's liking. So it's like a whole lovey-dovey thing. If I know the way you like your wine and I dilute it to your exact specifications. So the cha'ira coffee, I thought, is the same thing. That's what we spoke about in the harchakos shiurim. I happen to like my ideas in general. So that's kli shlishi. What's the story of kli shlishi? Prima Godem has a suffix about kli shlishi. Prima Godem eshel avram sivkatan lamed hey. Suffix about kli shlishi. The Prima Godem then proves from a magen avram in Ayrechayim Tuf Mem Zayin that kli shlishi is not dinai ke kli sheni. Even if you're machmir on kali habishon kli sheni, we are machmir on kali habishon kli sheni, but not on kli shlishi. That's what the Prima Godem says. Debatable whether there is any proof from Hilchas Pesach to Hilchas Bishul B'Shabbos, which is becoming a refrain that we say again and again, because maybe there are different dinim of Bishul. Mishnah Brura Sivkatan Mem Zayin is make all on putting bread in a kli shlishi. That's mutter, because by bread we have those who say that ein bishul acharafia, but ken zayin, we're going to have to be machmir on other stuff in the kli shlishi. Chazan Ish writes that on the fundamental level, he doesn't know of any difference between kli sheni and kli shlishi. Therefore, you should not put vadai kalei habishul in the kli shlishi. However, suffek kalei habishul, right? Again, Vade Kali Yabesh is only the Koyasa Ispin and the Dag Maliach and the Beitza, etc., and the Lechem. So those stuff you should not put into a Kli Shlishi. Other stuff you can put into a Kli Shlishi, because according to the Chazan Ish, I'm only Machmir in the Kli Sheni, Alts Lechshash, that is considered Yad Nechves. So again, one could say that Kli Shlishi, the Mishnah Brura, perhaps is Machmir on, because he says only put bread in the Kli Shlishi, and we could say that bread is more kal because it was already ne'efe, and we have opinions that ain't Bishal Achar Afiyah. The Chazanish sounds like Kli Shlishi is the same as Kli Sheni. Vadai Kali HaBishal do not go into Kli Shlishi. Safek Kali HaBishal, you can't put in a Kli Shlishi. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Daled, Os Tesvav, Rav Moshe says that he thinks everything can go into a Kli Shlishi. There were those who said that in a Kli Shlishi, you have to be machmir if it's Yad Nechves. Rav Moshe writes that even if it's Yad Nechves, don't be machmir in a Kli Shlishi. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Chof Ches, the Aruch HaShulchan tainas that you should not make tea even in a Kli Shlishi, because we see that the tea leaves get cooked in a Kli Shlishi. The flavor comes out. So therefore, obviously, there is bishul on tea in the Kli Shlishi. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Rav Moshe Feinstein in that tshuva, Chelek Dalas $9 was tesvav. Moshe says, dude, like, you can't bring proof because flavor comes out, that therefore there is bishul. There's a lot of stuff that flavor comes out even in cold water. Salt, the flavor will come out even in cold water. Right? Ashkenazim is still machmer and salt, even the cliche. The fact that flavor will exude, that's not proof of bishul, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, because bishul is a different process. Bishul is a formal halachic process. It's not about tam coming out. Right? This is along the lines of what we spoke about in our distinctions between, let's say, bishul of basar b'cholav and bishul of Shabbos. It could be that by basar b'cholav, the din is about nesinas tam. By Shabbos, it's a formal din of bishul. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein tainas. So what's the story of tea? Making tea on Shabbos. Rabbi Willig, in his Sefer, page 70, Hebrew Sefer, page 70, Rabbi Willig has the following cheshbon. If you remember, Tosfos tells me that the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is that Kli Sheni is Defanos Mikaros. Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh, Levracha, L'Chai Ha'olam, right? That's the way we should really refer to the Rav. We have to give him appropriate cover. So the Rav says that the Pshat in Tosfos is whether it's Derech Bishul V'Kach. Therefore, says Rabbi Willig, since the normal way people make tea, zuntig, muntig, dienstig, darnishtig, mitvach, right? Mitvach is before darnishtig. The reason why you make tea on the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is in the Kli Sheni. So therefore it's usher to make tea in the Kli Sheni because it's not a shinui. And therefore, Zot Rabbi Willig, you can't even make tea in the Kli Shlishi because the normal way to make tea is that people bring like a silver pitcher of hot water to the table and everybody then pours that water into the cup and makes the tea, right? Since that's the normal way of making tea, it's darkly bekach, so therefore it's also even the Kli Shlishi. In other words, if the pshat in Tosfos is what the Rav says, that the kula of Kli Sheni is because it's not darkai bekach, so something that is darko bekach in the Kli Sheni, we should be machmir. And something that is darko bekach can sign even the Kli Shlishi, we should be machmir. So it's like the Aruch HaShulchan who says, don't make tea in the Kli Shlishi, but unlike the Aruch HaShulchan says, because it gives off flavor, Rabbi Willig says, because it's normal to make tea. When I gave these shiurim years ago, so I believe it was Rabbi Yaakov Grun, who had been the Kol Elyon after, he pointed out, he says, one second. Right? The only reason why people bring the hot water to the table in that pitcher is because it's Shabbos. They want to avoid the din of Bishul b'Shabbos, so therefore they want to make it a Kli Shlishi. Right? You can't say that it's darkei b'kach because they do it on Shabbos. On a Wednesday, people don't bring the hot water to the table, even at a fancy meal. I don't think people bring the hot water to the table with like a tea kettle. That was his argument. I'm not sure because I bought a set of dishes not that long ago. When I bought a set of dishes, it came with like a tea thing. And Ms. Duma, right, the people I bought the set of dishes from are not like Orthodox Jews. They're selling their set of china, no, to non-Orthodox Jews also. So it's a thing.
In Chinese restaurants, that's what they do. They put a picture of tea on the table.
They put a pitcher of tea on the table, a pitcher of hot water on the
table.
Of hot water on the table, right. So if they do it normally, that would lead some credence to Rabbi Willick's approach that tea is also even in the Kli Shlishi. Tea in the Kli Sheni. So those who have a narrow definition of Kalei HaBishul, like the Chazon Ish, would still be Machmir because of the concern of Yad Nechves. Rav Soloveitchik quoted his grandfather that you could be make on tea in the Kli Sheni because tea has dino ketavlin. Right? We pointed out this should depend on how I define tavlin on the Arzarua versus the Taisus. We have a shita. I believe it's Rav Benzion Abba Shaul. He says that the Dershim Mishneh Berurah quotes it from like one of the Sfaradi Achrayim. Interesting idea that maybe, I think we may have mentioned this earlier, maybe you're allowed to make tea, even with Iroi Mekli Rishon, because the tea is inside a tea bag. The tea bag is a non-food item. Bishul by a non-food item is only when it goes from hard to soft, soft to hard. The tea bag doesn't really change. So I pour my tea, my Iroi Mekli Rishon, it doesn't really come in contact. It's the equivalent of pouring hot water on the baby bottle. That's his cheshbon. So this is complicated for two reasons. First of all, I don't like the first reason. That's Rabbi Willig's reason, that you have to be chayshish, that maybe Iritz Mevashal Bekulo. I think there's no shita in the Taisus and Shabbos Iritz Mevashal Bekulo. But a more fundamental reason to be nervous about this is that tea bags have something in it called holes. A hole. Anyone know what a hole is? A hole. So the tea bag has a hole in it. So I'm cooking the tea directly in. I'm cooking the tea directly in the what's it called? I'm cooking the tea directly out of the Iroi. It seems to me that it should be heter gomer to make tea in the Kli Sheni on Shabbos. If you remember the Mishnah Berurah, well, let's say it like this: it should be heter gomer to make tea in the Kli Shlishi on Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan's pshat we don't like. Maybe what? It's Kalei HaBishul, the Kli Shlishi. Not sure that's true at all. But even if it is true, the Mishnah Berurah says that by bread, since it is Bishul Achar Afiyah, you could be makel on putting bread in a Kli Shlishi. No? Tea. According to my research, the Lipton family, they make tea. The way you make tea is you take tea leaves, which are these big, massive things. You roll them down a river. What happens when you roll it down when you go down the river is it spreads out. The tea was all crinkly. You spread it out when it goes out of the river. But then you have like super sopping wet tea leaves. So then what you do is you heat the tea leaves on an open fire to remove the liquid. That's interesting, no? That means that one can argue that my tea is Bishul Achar Tzli. Because the way they make tea, right, is they heat it on the open fire to get the moisture out. That should be Bishul Achar Tzli, and therefore should for sure be mutter in the Kli Shlishi. So some of the sfarim say that's not really called Tzli. That's a process called Yibush, not Tzli. It's just drying it out. It's not really roasting it. Leman ha-emes, I don't know. I don't really understand. I don't really understand different in Yibush and Sli. If you look in the Shoel, in Nigris Moshe, Chelik Dalet, Simenayin Dalet, Os Tesfav, the Shoel says, oh, it's a Dabar Pasha, the tea leaves is not Sli, it's only Yibush. I'm not sure. I don't understand it. But what I am sure of is that this is a real old question. Reb Yochev Etlinger was, according to some, the person who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, If you read the biography of Reb Samson Raphael Hirsch, they point out that no one ever saw his smicha. I am not commenting. I once commented on this in a paper that I wrote that ended up published in the Hamavaser, and I got in trouble. So I'm not commenting in public, but you could probably figure out what I'm saying. The idea is that Reb Yaakov Ettlinger one time went to a town of Neustadt. And when he goes to the town of Neustadt, he sees that people are making tea on Shabbos. And they're pouring hot water on the tea leaves. So he asks them, what's pshat? So they say, oh, we're not exactly sure. But they've been doing this in our town for a very long time. So Yaakov Ettlinger says, whoa, I don't like this. So he finally digs. And someone tells him that in China, where they make the tea, what they do is they cook the tea first. That's what he says. And that's their argument to make tea. So Yaakov Ettlinger says, I'm not sure. I have to inquire. Yaakov Ettlinger was the Rav of Ahu, no? Altoona, Hamburg, and Wangsbach. Right? Those are three famous communities in Germany. Yaakov Ettlinger spoke to a merchant of tea. And they told him, Lohayu Devar Me Olam, that the tea is not cooked beforehand. So therefore, Yaakov Ettlinger writes that he thinks that there's a chashash of skila. That's why he writes it in the tshuva. If you pour hot water on the tea leaves on Shabbos, a chashash of skila. That's bad. I would argue that maybe the back and forth is because of this issue, that the tea is taka dried on a hot, on real fire, is that considered some sort of bishul? Again, it seems to me that this is a good enough reason to be makel on the kli shlishi, although people do not seem to say this. Reb Yaakov Ettlinger in that tshuva writes something similar to what the Mishnah Berurah says about making tea on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says, Hocheshb, about making the tea essence, etc. Like we spoke about Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Lamites. Reb Yaakov Ettlinger writes that he thinks you should cook the tea leaves before Shabbos in the Kli Rishon. And then you should be very, very, very careful to dry off the tea leaves completely. And then once the tea leaves were cooked and dried off completely, it's a davar yavesh shenispashel. And then by a davar yavesh shenispashel, we say ein bishul achar bishul. But he writes, dry it off completely. Says the Shvisas HaShabbos, if cut in Memzayin, I believe. He says, 1 second, drying it off completely. Why do you got to do that? Why do you got to dry it off? I'm sorry, Sifkotin Ayin Dalin, the Shvisas HaShabbos. Why do you have to dry it off completely? Don't we assume that if you have a Dover Yavish with a tiny bit of Dover Lach on it, then it's not called a Dover Yavish? It's not called a Dover Lach. I'm getting drunk, right? Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger says you have to dry it off completely. Why do you have to dry it off completely? A few drops. What's the big deal? He says, you see, it's Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. It's what's it called? He's nervous about those few drops. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger also says that you can't cook the tea leaf just by pouring hot water on it time one and then pouring hot water on it a second time. Why not? So he says, well, who says the hot water cooks it at all? Maybe I hold like the Rashbam that, what's it called? That Iroi is not Mavashal. And then maybe the next time I put the tea, let's say in a cup, maybe it isn't Mavashal afterwards in the Kli Sheni. That's already a complicated Cheshbon, no? If you hold that Iroi is a Kli Shani and it's not Mavashal, so putting it in the cup, how could that be worse? Right? Very hard to understand exactly that cheshbon. Again, look in the Shvisas HaShabbos, Ois Ayin Dalet. It is worth noting that there's another issue over here, just very briefly. Dagmali Akoyos HaIspanin, right? The Gemara says, Hadachasan Zuhi Gemar Malachtan. What does Hadachasan Zuhi Gemar Malachtan mean? So Rashi, Rambam, they write that it's considered bishul. However, there are three gedolei achronim, primogodim, chaya odom, levush. They say that the lashon gemar malacha throughout Masechta Shabbos means the malacha of makeh b'patish. Gemar Melachas, Makeh B'Patish. So they say that in their opinion, there is Makeh B'Patish on the Koyas Ha'ispinin. You're making it usable. And because it's Makeh B'Patish, so Memela, that's why you shouldn't do it. Im Kenim Hadavarim, the Bir Halacha and Sif Dalet notes, the din would be even Bitzonin. I shouldn't do hadacha on the herring, on the dag maluach, even betzoinen, because there's makav apatish ba'ichlan. The Mishnah Brura doesn't like this at all. He says, one second, if you're worried about makav apatish ba'ichlan, there's like a million gemaras. The gemara speaks about Gilgal beitza, you round the egg. So the Gemara says, you round the egg, Gilgal's chayiv chatos, because what? Because we assume that chamei ha'or is going to be real bishul. Maybe it's chayiv chatos, because it's makeh b'patish. Right? The Gemara has a lashonos, the ashvuyei ochlem ashvinin. Something that was not really edible, you can make it edible. Why don't I assume that there is makeh b'patish ba'ichlam? So the Bir Halacha says, no such thing as Makeh B'Patish by Eichlam. But at the end, he writes to defend the Chaya Adam, and the Chaya Adam himself has this little bit in Nishmas Adam, Simin Chaf, Ol Zayin. The Prima Godim seems to have this also. I did not look in the Lavash. That maybe Makeh B'Patish by Eichlam means when I have something that was not edible at all, and now I mamish make it edible. But if I have a dag maluach, have a really salty fish, it is edible, no? You might not like super salty fish, right? The Gemara, I think, in Ketzim of Archim has a discussion of eating really salty fish with like a cracker in order to make the fish edible. And the Shilas, do you make a brach on that cracker, no? Super salty fish are edible. Just most of us don't eat it. An egg, a raw egg, is edible. All the great chazonim on the planet drink raw egg in order to lubricate their throat. No? Some of the great chazonim. Present company excluded. Right? The point is that could be that there is only makeh b'patish by oichlim when something goes from inedible to edible. But something that was edible by day atchak, that's not called makeh b'patish. Based on this cheshbon, there's a discussion in the poskim about making seltzer on Shabbos. Is it mutter to make seltzer on Shabbos? So some say, oh, it should be makeh b'patish ba'eichlam. And if you hold like the prima godim, levush chayyodim, it's aser. But one second, seltzer was edible, drinkable beforehand. Just it was water. Now it becomes seltzer. According to this whole nishmas adam, prima godim, it's only a problem if you go from zero all the way. But if it was usable beforehand, etc. My understanding is, though, that making seltzer on Shabbos is usher for a different reason entirely. The earliest tshuva about using telephones on Shabbos is the tshuva of Beis Yitzchak Shmelkes. Yitzchak Shmelkes was the Rav in Lvov. I believe Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone like in 1852. I think this tshuva came out in 1853. So he asks, what about using electricity telephones on Shabbos? So he says, you know what, in his opinion, it's considered moilid. You're making something new. You're bringing something to life. Just like making seltzer is usher on Shabbos, out mailed, so also using electricity is usher on Shabbos, out mailed. Now it happens that the later Svarim, they don't like this. They say electricity is usher for other reasons. There's no din of mailed. I once gave a shir my shul, and I felt that we have to be nervous that it's mailed to make seltzer on Shabbos. There's a thing. People like Soda Stream. No? You're allowed to use Soda Stream. So this woman in the show is like, mamish, angry at me. How can I say it's usher? Like, the Tzitz Eliezer, and I should issue a public retraction. That's when she writes, I'm like, I'm not issuing a public retraction. And Yitzchak Shmelkes says, making seltzer is usher on Shabbos. I think that's actually a really good reason. Electricity is usher on Shabbos. Like, I'm not backing down. I think that's reasonable. What about making jello on Shabbos? Is there makeh b'patish by Oichlin if I make jello? Interesting question, no? So I don't know. L'chayri jello was not edible beforehand. It was just powder.
Then I pour the hot water on it. Let's say I pour the hot water from a kli shlishi. And hold the kli shlishi. The kli shlishi categorically is not bishul. And then I take the gel, I put it in the refrigerator. It's jello eyes. Is that makeh v'patish by oichlim? Do I have to be nervous at makeh v'patish? It wasn't edible at all beforehand. So in the Dershu Mishnah Brura, they quote somebody who says that maybe there's no makeh v'patish b'sheval tasa. Rashi writes on Ayin Daled that if I make a chavis, I make a barrel, al yidei earth, I make a wicker basket or something. So Rashi writes, there's no makeh v'patish. If I make a barrel, al yidei earth, and then I put it in the kiln to heat it up. So Zokt Rashi, that's not makeh v'patish because it's nasa memela. Makeh v'patish means I bang it. But if it's nasa memela, there's no makeh v'patish. So based on this, that cheshbon in the Dershu Mishnah Brura is like, just like Rashi says, there's no makeh v'patish b'shev al tasa to hear also. Now I should note, by the way, that it's very hard to understand why there would not be makeh v'patish by Eichlam. Which malachas do I assume don't apply by Eichlam? There's certain malachas that only apply by Eichlam. But to say that a malacha does not apply by Eichlam, that's hard. There is a discussion in the Russian Tosfos that maybe there's no tchina by Eichlam. But that's a different cheshbon. That's because food will by definition become tachun. When I put it in my mouth and I chunk on my teeth, it will become tachun. So maybe if I do it earlier, that's ain't tchina by Eichlam. But why would there be in makeh v'patish ba'eichlam on a fundamental level? Ani lo mevin etzei kol kach. The Mishnah Brura wants to say maybe there's no makeh v'patish ba'eichlam. Ani lo mevin lama lo. But most achrayim assume against the prima godim levush and chaya odim that ain makeh v'patish ba'eichlam. Okay, gentlemen, want to wish all of you a good day, and you should be blessed. Zayga benched, and everything should go well. Oh, I forgot. Any questions, comments, observations?
Yeah, how do you make seltzer? How do you make seltzer?
Making seltzer. Who's speaking?
That's me.
Oh, that's you, yeah.
How do you make seltzer?
How do you make seltzer? So basically, you have like gas that you inject into the water, and it makes bubbles. Okay. Like, that's the simple.
There's no electricity? Like,
you're not using electricity at all. No, it's gas.
Yeah, I read in Rabbi Ribiot about making a bouillon cube in Kli Sheni. He mentioned, if you know that it was cooked, it's fine, but there's a chashash of makeh v'patish.
Yeah, so I don't know about the chashash of makeh v'patish. Again, the Mishnah Brura says that we're not really nervous about makeh v'patish. I guess if you're worried about this, nishma sodom, prima godim, so then the bouillon cube was not used at all beforehand, so then it might be makeh v'patish. It's also worth noting that even if it was cooked beforehand, in the Archos Shabbos, he points out that a lot of these items that were cooked beforehand, sometimes they add ingredients after it was cooked. You have to figure out the tahalich of bishul very well. Like, do they add any ingredients? Like some say, I happen to like French vanilla coffee. I like that. So they say that the way you make that coffee is after you roast the coffee beans, you add the flavoring after. I don't know. Again, I happen to think that making coffee in a kli shlishi is hetzer gamur, like remaisha. That's what I do every Shabbos morning. But if you're nervous, you're nervous. Okay.
Rabbi had a question of why there might not be makeh v'patish by Eichlin. Is it possible that it has to do with the fact that it's only temporary?
But it's not temporary. In other words, it's only temporary because I'm going to eat it after. That's right. The shaila. If I have something, like I tie a knot on the diaper, I'm going to throw the diaper in the garbage, right? Is that called temporary? The discussion, the achrayim, about if I write something on a cookie, right, and I eat the cookie, right, so maybe there's mochik, right? You're not going to say it's temporary because you decide to undo it. Right, there's a special yisoy by malach of kosher that becomes temporary if I undo it.
But the whole malach of makeh v'patish is completing something. If you're completing something, which
but I made something that would be permanent. It happens. I was thirsty and I drank the seltzer. Right, it's. I don't know. I'm not crazy about that story. It was permanent. It's just I decided to eat it. Okay, gentlemen, have a great day.